Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome Ms. Leah Barber Hines, Advocacy Director of Florida Chain. Leah, could you please explain to our listeners what Chain stands for?
Sure. Florida Chain is the Community Health Action and Information Network.
Wow, that sounds like a project with some pretty heavy lifting. How long have you been involved with Florida Community Health Action Information Network?
I've been with Motley, the position, for a year and a half, but I've been working with the wonderful healthcare advocates that are involved with Florida Chain for at least 10 to 12 years now.
Our healthcare is evolving. The President and Congress have made some new possibilities available to American citizens. Could you explain what's approaching in October?
I am happy to. This is a very, very exciting time for our nation. It's a historic time. And as we know, the Affordable Care Act has been up against quite a fight for a little while now, and also specifically in Florida. Our leaders have been quite resistant, even though the law is in place. So we're working very hard to make sure that implementation is smooth and that we have as much support as possible. And most importantly, to make sure that the people of Florida know what's coming and how they can access this very important new health care that will be available very soon. So on October 1st, the healthcare marketplace will open. This is where people will have the opportunity to shop and compare and contrast different healthcare plans at different levels. In the marketplace, there are required benefits, and many of these benefits have never been required before. So it's absolutely a new day. Insurance plans will no longer be allowed to deny you or your family coverage based on pre-existing conditions. We know that this has been a huge issue for a long time. The health plans in the marketplace are required to cover maternity care, prescriptions, doctor visits, hospitalizations, emergency room care. The costs are capped. Extremely important benefits are going to be coming. Another thing that's already in place now that people may not know about is very important preventive care that's already required of insurance plans, such as mammograms. So we know how important prevention is. So on October 1st, this marketplace will open. There will be what we call navigators, which are people that are going to be assisting consumers in how to shop and how to figure out what's best for their families situated around the state. And we're very excited to get going. This is the real, true implementation of the law. And it's very important that we let the public know that this is available so that people can get in and start shopping and find out what they can do for their families, for many of them for the first time ever.
Yes, the costs of health care have been just an insurmountable battle for so many, both the working poor and the professional poor, if you will, those who have, while it looks like a white-collar job from one side, it certainly the pay isn't what white-collar jobs used to be. Tell me, this marketplace, there's been so much confusion. Of course, the Republican propaganda has been awash in so much of the media. Yeah, what they've tried 30 or 40 times to stop Obamacare. While we know for sure that the Florida legislature has not been in any way helpful, how does that all shake out for Floridians? This healthcare marketplace, is it a state marketplace? Is it an online marketplace? How do we approach it? And how do we get the help of these navigators who are there, as you said, to help us understand the system?
These are all very good questions. One of the most important things that I want to say first as it relates to cost is the other piece of the marketplace that's so important for Floridians is that there will be help to pay for the cost depending on eligibility of income levels. So what that means is, just like you said, the white-collar job is not what it used to be. And there are many, you know, middle-class type families now that are having just as much trouble as low income in being able to afford even basic health care.
Sure.
So there will be tax credits that will be available to families to help with some of the costs. So that's extremely important for you to know. This is considered a marketplace that's being facilitated by the federal government. I'm sure that everyone has heard a lot in the news about this. Some states have their marketplaces being run by the state. Some places have it being run by the federal government. To begin with, ours will be run by the federal government, but down the road, we hope that that will change. It's most importantly, this will be available no matter who's running it, because this law has been passed and it's here to stay, and there's not much anybody can do. With that, cooperation from state leaders is important. It is important for it to run smoothly, so we're watching very closely on implementation. What are the things that the state needs to be doing? Are they doing those things? And if we think they're not, we're making sure to make a lot of noise about that. That's one of the things that Florida Chain does, and we do that with a lot of our partners. So we're watching very closely, but what the public needs to know is this is going to happen on October 1st, no matter who's running it. It really is a public-private partnership with health insurance companies. There are some people that, like you said, with the propaganda, that want to talk about this government-sponsored care. These are private health insurance companies, very well-known private health insurance companies that are going to be providing this health insurance. The government piece is that they are now going to have required benefits that are extremely important, and they can no longer discriminate against you because, for example, because you're a woman, women have always had to pay more, and now the gender rating is not allowed. So there's all kinds of very important things like that that are built into this. In terms of the navigators, they are going to be located all over the state, and we will have that information available, and as will the federal government. Healthcare.gov is the website where people can go now and get information. There's also a call number on that website on the homepage where people can go and ask questions, but there will be a comprehensive list available of navigators so that people can see where they're located. And there will be other types of assistance available, and that information will be available soon. It's not up yet, I don't believe, but it'll be available soon on healthcare.gov.
Let me ask you this, and again, I understand that some things are maybe not finalized yet, but I know for a lot of people, it helps if you can, kind of run through a sample test or, run through a sample configuration. If I try this and then select that, what's the outcome versus trying this other? And then with that, so kind of a try A versus try B versus try C. Do you know, to the best of your knowledge, is there, some modeling options like, you can select A, B, and D versus A, B, and G? Is there that kind of selecting from one from column A, one from column B in that process?
I have not gotten that down into the nitty-gritty details yet. My understanding is that people will be able to get a very good picture of what these benefits look like and how they compare. So my understanding is that people will be able to have that level of detail, but I haven't gotten into it quite yet.
Oh, that's certainly understandable. I'm sure that there are programmers and policy wonks at work even as we speak, trying to work out all those details.
Yes, there are.
Let me ask you this. The navigators, I'm trying to look at this from the average person's perspective. Are these people they'll be able to talk to, or is this a complicated press 1 to continue, press 3 for this, press 4 for that, recorded voices? Are there people going to be navigators, or is it going to be kind of a system? Do you know?
Well, the navigators are actual people.
Good.
They're going to be going through a training process, and there are, background checks and fingerprinting and all those types of things required for navigators, because they'll be collecting information from people. And then there is the call number on the healthcare.gov where people can also call to ask questions, and there will be multiple languages available and all types of ways that people can access this information. So there will be real people involved with this process.
That's super, because, if there's anything, I'm involved in technology professionally, and if there's one thing that I hear, complaints about help systems, when people have to deal with automated systems, they can be very, their tolerance for frustration can be very, very low. So that's really good news to hear. So this system is going to help walk people into that so they can make intelligent decisions. And obviously, I think I've heard that if you already have existing insurance, it's not going to impact, except maybe extend some rules that you didn't have before. So people who have existing insurance, I'm sure there's a few of them out there still, they won't be losing their, this won't impact their insurance, but this is for primarily for people who just don't have access.
That's absolutely correct, and there are a lot of myths out there around that very thing that you brought up. But yes, this will not impact people that already have coverage.
You know, I remember following the legislative system, the legislature of Florida, God bless them, and while they were not prepared to give Floridians any health care, they certainly get a good deal on their health care insurance. While I suppose we can expect continued foolishness from some conservatives in government, is there, can you tell, a long-term path? I mean, are there going to be, we hope, more benefits and more cost control? I realize there are some cost controls, right?
There are some things that are built into the Affordable Care Act that are extremely important, that require insurance companies to spend a certain amount of money on direct care. And if they don't do it, they have to issue rebate checks, which has already been going on, which is pretty amazing. This is for small businesses and for individuals. And we saw a very big decrease in this amount of rebate money happen this past year, which tells us that it's working. I mean, insurance companies have to follow this law. It's called medical loss ratio, and it means that they have to provide a certain level of care. So it's another very important piece that's built into the Affordable Care Act.
And as I understand it, children have a great opportunity to be covered more than has been in the past. Could you talk about how this works for children, for children's health care benefits?
I can. There are some really wonderful healthcare programs already in place for Florida through the Florida Kid Care Program, which is the Children's Health Insurance Program. Our biggest issue that we run into with children, because many of them do qualify, is that a lot of people are unaware of that these healthcare programs are available. So much of what we're working on that front is trying to educate families and make sure that people know, because we have about 575,000 children. So what's very important about the marketplace and the Affordable Care Act implementation is that what we know is that when parents have coverage, children are much more likely to have coverage too. They're much more likely to visit the doctor. It is family coverage. And so it's extremely important that we get as many adults as we possibly can, because the marketplace will be a streamlined spot to also screen children for the Kid Care Program. So it's very, very important in that it's going to provide family coverage and pick up many of these children that have not been covered yet.
When we think about children's coverage, I know a lot of times once upon a time there used to be some health care available through the schools. Are the schools going to have information on coverage for children?
Yes, that's a very good question. There are a lot of efforts already underway for a long time now to make sure that schools know what's available for kids, and we're just, you know, making sure that the navigators are able to get that information out and the organizations are getting the information out. So there's a lot of partnering going on with the schools, yes.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I understand that there are some changes through the Affordable Health Care Act that impact hospitals and clinics. Could I ask you to cover that, or is that outside the area that you focus on?
No, I can speak a little bit to that. You know, as of now, hospitals are, you know, required to treat anyone that comes in, and so this has been difficult because it's extremely expensive. A lot of people want to blame the Affordable Care Act for the increase in premiums and some of the things that we're seeing, even though the ACA has not been fully implemented yet. But the fact of the matter is that when you've got uninsured people using the hospital for basic health care, it is very expensive for everyone. So part of the design of the Affordable Care Act is that a lot of the people that are used to going to the emergency room now will have access to a doctor and have some of these primary care issues taken care of. So we're hoping that that's going to ease some of the financial burden on the hospitals.
Well, that's wonderful. Tell me, I'm looking at your website, and I see that there's been, in 2013, a Medicaid expansion campaign. Is this part of the money that the state of Florida legislature turned down, or is some of that actually going to be available to Floridians?
It's a very, very good question. So the Affordable Care Act, aside from the marketplace, also originally had an expansion of Medicaid, and it's up to 138% of the federal poverty level, and it was supposed to work together with the marketplace. And what happened is that the Supreme Court, when they ruled and upheld most of the Affordable Care Act, they decided to make the Medicaid expansion part optional. So most people listening have probably heard a whole lot about this in the news. Some states are saying yes, and some states are saying no. Sadly, after many efforts, a serious, amazing, bipartisan fight last session, I've never seen people come together the way that they did in my 12 or 13 years of doing this. We were not able to get the Medicaid expansion through. And it was very unfortunate because, like I said, we had a real strong bipartisan showing of support to draw this federal money down. It would impact about 700,000 Floridians. Well, the 700,000 are the people that will not be able to access tax credits in the marketplace. But it is actually 1.2 million Floridians would be impacted by this. So we were unable to make this happen, but the fight goes on, the battle wages on, the opportunity has not passed us by. So I want to explain what I just said about the marketplace. So tax credits and assistance are available, but they are not available for people under 100% of the federal poverty level. So what that means is this Medicaid expansion eligible group is also not able to use the marketplace to help to purchase coverage and would otherwise not have the ability to do so. So it's absolutely unfair, and it doesn't make any sense when we've got so many people on board, from the hospitals to the businesses, name it. So we are just continuing to fight that fight. We think it's extremely important, and frankly, it's been very political that it hasn't happened. There's not a very good reason at all whatsoever.
Yeah, beyond the politics.
Right, there's really not. The federal government would be picking up the tab for the first 3 years, and then even after that, the state only has to pay not a huge amount. It's up to 10%. And like I just said about the hospitals, we know that there will be cost savings in the future for our state because this group of people still has to, likely go to the emergency room for care. So this is an extremely important campaign. There are a lot of people on board, and I invite the Floridians and your listeners to become part of the campaign with us. Our website is floridachain.org. We are always looking for volunteers. We're always looking for stories. We really like to illustrate. Here is the reality. We are talking about hardworking families. We're talking about people that get up every day and go to work and still cannot go to the doctor when they're sick. So
absolutely.
We're very interested in story collection, and we invite people to check out the website, floridachain.org, and the other website is healthcareforflorida.org, which is our campaign website, Healthcare for Florida Now campaign website.
If you have a couple more minutes, I would love to cover a couple other areas with you. I see that there is a new statewide long-term care program that's being rolled out.
Yes.
That's under your, the Medicaid portion of your website. And I'm sure that many people would be very happy to hear that there is increased access to health care for seniors. As you pointed out, so many people have been for a long time not been able to make themselves available to healthcare, and that's a real shame. Let's see, if we as we get closer to the rollout, obviously there'll be a press campaign. I'm sure you're using a lot of different avenues for outreach. Are you guys going to be running PSAs, I presume, and print ads as well?
Not for Shane per se, but we have many partners that will be doing advertising to make sure that information is getting out there. We're working closely with Enroll America. We're working closely with SEIU and many other partners. So there will be information getting out that way, and we do quite a bit of work with the media, and they've been very helpful in getting out information about upcoming events, make sure that they're covering the events. Florida Chain specifically will be working on enrollment fairs all around the state, where we'll be inviting people to come, and we'll have navigators on site, so all that information will be on our website soon. And we will be working with the press to get the information out about those events. So that's more of a chain-specific project.
Sure. If you don't mind, I would like to ask you a couple personal questions. So many of us involved in political affairs or civic affairs, we kind of have the same sort of thing happen to us. You know, we're involved in trying to make a living and have a family and, you know, maintain friends and have a little fun in this world. But activists have this thing happen in their hearts or have this thing happen in their lives where they have to be involved. They have to take that additional time to be engaged in their community. What was it in your life that made you an activist, that gave you the impetus to go beyond merely just having a job and a family?
A great question. Well, my family, thank you to my family, really did a great job of just building empathy really early with all of us. I've got three sisters, and I remember having a great deal of empathy pretty early on. So some of this comes from my upbringing. But I think what really did it is right out of college, right out of undergrad, I had a job working with children with severe behavioral disorders.
Wow.
And I would go into it was very tough, and I would go into the homes and I would help the families try to work with these kids. A lot of the kids were foster care kids, they were in the system, they had been abused. And what I really witnessed firsthand, just right there, hands-on, was poverty. So I have a great deal of interest in that, because what I really feel like I saw was human suffering in a country that's wealthy and a place where we have resources, and really it's about making the right decisions on how to help people. So I figured out pretty early that, and I had a mentor say to me, you know, I'm not sure. I think it might be public policy or legislative advocacy or law school or something like that for you. And I started looking into it, and she was right. I realized we can make an impact on a larger scale and impact more people kind of going this legislative advocacy route. But I have those children and families in my mind still every day, because it was unbelievable. And I think in terms of healthcare, it really has been a system of haves and have-nots. I mean, we hear that phrase a lot. It's very real. I had someone say to me the other day, well, I mean, if they can't, you know, they can't get health insurance and they can just fall over in the bushes outside of the ER, they should just pay for it, get a job and pay for it. And, you know, it hurts my heart to hear people talking like that, because, like I said, the reality is people work very hard and still cannot afford to have health care. So I believe very much in this issue. I believe in this law. Nothing's perfect. But it is extremely important, and it needs to work well. And that's some of what has brought me into this world of activism.
Well, thank you so much for the work that you do, and I know the kind of person that you are. Your family benefits from the work that you do in the world, too. Thank you so much,
Leah. Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you'll come back again and tell us even more about the rollout of these healthcare systems. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.